Thank you. Guest comptrolless, Aaron McGathy. How are you doing? How did it go? Starting the show.
I think it went okay.
Okay.
I got some encouragement from the front row.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did they? Shouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, before the show, they're like, "Oh, hey, hi."
The second row was like, "Fuck you."
Oh, they're all holding, giving me thumbs downs,
oh, yeah.
Shaking their heads back and forth.
Thanks for coming on Emmy night and Breaking Bad night. We appreciate it. I'm back. I got an iPhone. I'm back. So I'm not wearing my iHarman tonight, which is my notepad that I've been using. Only because I'm going to give it a field test. I'm going to give Evernote another week. I'm going to see if Evernote works for keeping track of stuff, which so far it does not. It doesn't work. But I did just use my fingerprint to open my phone, and that's disturbing. They say that the fingerprint is stored on the chip inside the phone and that will never, therefore, be accessible to the National Security Agency. It's already been hacked. I mean, it's in a chip on a phone. Like, it doesn't, like, I was never a part of the vote where they said, hey, we're going to give everything but the things in the chips on the phone to the National Security Agency. I was never a part of that. I'm sure they would have said that was okay too, right?
Sure.
Like, we're putting it in the iCloud. The cloud has a border around it.
Dan, how long do you think it'll be before a jealous boyfriend or girlfriend cuts off their partner's thumb?
Oh, and uses it to unlock their phone, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely going to be a lot of, like, passed out sleeping, use your phone to, because that's easy.
Oh, God. Just lifting a limp hand up and putting
it in
your phone.
Yeah,
because
you... Gosh. Because when you're... Yeah, well, people cut off penises and stuff, so, like...
Yeah.
Of course they're going to definitely... You go through people's purses, like, you know, if you're in an unhealthy relationship, you're yelling at each other, and then you get drunk, and then you pass out. Then someone's going to use the phone, you know, the thumb to, yeah, for sure.
Well, I feel like people justify a lot of bad behavior as far as, like, breaking into their partner's phone, like, oh, yeah, I was checking the thing, and then I came across these text. It's pretty hard to get around the thumbprint thing. It's an obvious thing. This has been thumbprint talk.
Yeah. I just had the air taken out of the thing I really wanted to talk about tonight, which is something that Duncan Trussell told me earlier tonight, which is that the first cyborg hate crime happened at a French McDonald's, but it happened like 2 years ago. It happened like July of 2012. And there was a guy in a French McDonald's that had a cybernetic eye. And so people were like, take off that camera. And he was like, it's my eye. It's bolted to my skull. I'm a cyborg. And he was a cyborg. And they tried to rip it off like a kid, in a comedic, like, take off that beard, you're in disguise, and it's like, ow, I'm Santa Claus. Except they tried to rip his eye out of his head, ostensibly because they're French, I guess, and they're, like, both more passionate and have less technology. Because I'm sure this guy had to be either Canadian or American, right? He's had a robot eye. They tried to rip his eye out of his head, and people were calling it the first cyborg hate crime. But it happened a year ago, so who cares? And I looked it up, and it wasn't like you have a picture in your head of like a cyborg eye, like a Terminator. He's got it's like a Google, half of a Google glasses bolted to his head. He's the one who chose to bolt it. Like, could easily just wear it. We could make it rip offable. I'm just saying, just when you look at it, you're kind of like, yeah, take it off. It's kind of like if he had a fedora, and he was like, no, I have a really tingly scalp, so I staple my hat to my head. And they said, no hats in here. They tried to rip it off, and it rips my skin off. Like, it's like, yikes, that's terrible, but like, nothing. I mean, I wasn't going to say he deserves it. I was got a camera bolted to his head. Don't rip it off. But anyways, I just want to talk about how disappointing it is to find out in the green room that happened a year ago.
Are you going to talk to Duncan about it?
Yeah, I'm going to text him and say, yeah, thanks for the scoop, jackass. First cyborg hate crime. I'm gonna go put a camera in his head. All right, so let's just review some things.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good Saturday yesterday.
Yeah.
Harmon McGathy style.
Bed Springer.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely got out of bed today, absolutely because I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing left to do in bed.
I absolutely reached my limit. As I was waking up to the credits of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at 5 a.m., I was like, it is time to get out of bed.
Yeah. Yesterday, we watched Super 8 In Time with Justin Timberlake. a little bit of The Host. Just a little bit of the Twilight Ladies alien movie. Branded. Tried to watch a little bit of Branded. Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. But what we didn't get around to watching is something I'm kind of excited about because of the iTunes description. It's called The Dinosaur Project. It's on iTunes, and the iTunes description is, Dinosaur Project is a team of explorers searching for a mythical creature. What mythical creature? When their helicopter is brought down by a flock of enormous birds, they discover strange creatures which civilization has thought extinct for millions of years. dinosaurs are the title.
And describe the art on the cover of the movie.
I don't know if I can.
Well, it's people
running from a dinosaur.
Running from dinosaurs. Yeah, giant, yeah. Giant
well,
dinosaurs.
The title is The
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaur Project. But the summary of it, they're really trying to skirt they're like, let's make this a bigger deal. that there are creatures that no one's aware of. But I'm getting tapped because I don't, you know, this is one of those nights. I'm telling you, I got nothing. I got nothing to talk about. And
how
you're
do you-
here and... What?
You weren't crazy about Super 8.
I liked the first half hour of it, and then when, you know, as it slowly became a movie about a spider monster,
Okay, I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus. I did think it was really funny watching Dan. I've seen the movie before. Watching Dan watch that movie, just be like, oh, it's just a spider monster, and you learn that Dan's experience of watching Super 8 was just like, oh, I can't wait to see what bizarre new monster
that
I'm
being promised. The payoff.
The payoff
should have been
is
called super payoff.
Super payoff.
If your movie's about a spider monster, it's CG. You can just show it crawling out of a thing and reveal it, and then tell a story about dealing with it. You don't have to hide it from me. That doesn't make it magical. You can't tell me it's magical. That's not fair. It's not magical just because you don't show it. That's not a magical creature. It's a spider monster. It's from Mars, and it wants to go back home. And I would like to see the spider monster as early as possible, and I'd like to learn what makes it tick and then get on with the story of the spider monster. I do not want to hear the three-hour story of what's that and have the third act be, it's a spider monster. Very well shot, very, very beautiful film. It's about a spider monster, and there's just no covering that up these days. I got a cyborg eye called Apple TV. I can rewind. I know it's a spider monster. All right. Our next guest... waited in line for 12 hours to buy my new iPhone for me. And didn't get his own, which I wanted to buy him in exchange for him doing that. His name is Spencer Crittenden.
Spencer!
You can go. Do you want to be a guest for a change? Do you want to sit and... Oh, boy. Oh, man, that question just overloaded him. He's... Take your Dungeon Master seat.
There's three chairs up there.
Yeah.
Two microphones.
So thanks for waiting in line for me the night before the iPhone came out.
I'm still kind of out of it.
Yeah. Did it throw off your schedule a little bit?
Yeah, a little. Whoa. A little. But, I mean, I didn't sleep, and then I slept, and now I'm okay, kind of.
That's how it works. How does waiting in line to buy an iPhone work? That's something I don't know.
It's kind of boring. I'm not sociable. So I got there, and I didn't really talk to anybody. But other people were talking to people around me, and that was great.
What were those people like?
What were the people?
Yeah, the people around you. What were the conversations? What was the scene?
About being cold and whether or not the bathrooms are working. And
where were the bathrooms?
They were, you know, around. It was an outdoor mall. There's two kinds of bathrooms. They were both locked at some point.
Well, these are the details of people that I want. I don't know about people.
Yeah.
I want to know, you're out on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
You're outside an Apple store.
Yeah, sitting in a camp chair.
You brought a chair.
You gotta.
Yeah.
You gotta bring a chair.
So where do you make the pee-pees?
In the bathroom. So
Whose bathroom?
It's the mall bathroom. It's public. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah, you go up these stairs, and then there's a bathroom. And I went, and there was a guy out there, and he was like, "Don't go in the bathroom, man." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "It's all dark. I couldn't find the light." And I was like, "Oh, well, I mean, I've peed in the dark before."
Also, how dare he slap his limitations on you like that? I couldn't find the light switch. Everyone stop eliminating.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, just don't follow me in there. And I just went in there, and you know, my iPhone has a flashlight function.
Yeah, very funny that a guy in line for new technology was like, "Dark."
Yeah.
Well, that would, yeah,
dark.
That would be that's the point of being an Apple guy is, yeah, you want, yeah, Apple takes care of that. Like, Apple, turn the lights off. I don't know what to do. He didn't want you to follow him into the bathroom?
No, I told him not to follow me because he's a weird guy telling people about stuff going on in a bathroom.
You said don't follow me to someone?
Yeah.
You were saying, I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah, well, he was presumably out of the bathroom having gone in there, and I was going in there in spite of his warning, so he might be like, "Oh, what's all the fuss about?" Or he might be like, "I'm going to murder that guy." I mean, I'm not, who am I to judge, but don't follow me in there seemed to be fair.
Can you describe this bathroom crier?
He was a Mexican guy with short, spiky hair. He maybe 5'4". Fine, you know.
Are you not using any kind of race because you're not racist?
He said Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Definitely.
I didn't hear it because I'm not racist.
Nice.
Yeah. So a tiny man. You said 5'4"?
Pretty small, yeah.
Sorry if you're in the audience and you're 5'4" and you don't like being called tiny. So definitely compared to you, a tiny, tiny little man.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Don't go in the bathroom. I can't find the light. Yeah. And you said, okay, don't follow me.
Yeah.
And went in the bathroom and found the light, or just use your iPhone as a...
Well, I was like, I'll take my chances. And then he was like, well, I mean, I looked all around. It's really, really dark in there. And I was like, I'll be fine. Just don't come in there.
Oh, man. Something happened with that guy and his mom at a certain point. Something where he went into the room and he's like, "Mom, like the light's out." And she came in and turned the light on and beat him with a hammer.
With a lamp.
Better.
Yeah, so he loves and hates light. He's like, was he a fellow Apple liner?
I think he was, yeah. That was at about 2:30 in the morning. I think most people out were that. There was, you know, some security guards and cops rolling around, but other than that, it was just Apple people.
And was he waiting for you when you came out? Did you say that already?
He was still there. He hadn't moved. I went pretty fast. I was, you know, ready to defend myself. So, yeah.
He was still there?
Yeah.
Waiting outside the bathroom?
Not waiting outside. There's like a kind of area that's like a balcony over these stairs, because you got to go upstairs.
Uh-huh.
So it's like he was at a balcony overlooking this place when he, you know, told me of the bathroom's lights.
Yeah.
And he
just stayed there and watched you go to the bathroom and come back out.
Sure. I don't think of it like that, but
who saved your place in line when you were using the bathroom?
No one. I had my chair there. So a lot of people, once they had chairs going on, they were getting up and leaving and coming back.
Sort of an honor system, but yeah. How much are you allowed to stretch that? How much did you see it stretched? Like,
oh,
the idea,
man,
of just putting a chair there and just taking off.
The person who was like the fifth in line was bullshit. It was just some old lady, and
she just put a chair down and went home and watched.
She went down for four.
Bones.
She left for 4 hours, came back for a half hour, left for about 7 hours, came back 2 minutes or 2 hours before opening. But other than that, wasn't there at all. So like, most of the time she wasn't even there. So that was kind of bullshit.
Yeah. It's interesting, this concept. Here's a, this is the other thing that haunts me. If you had not waited in line for me so I could have my precious iPhone the next day, how long would it have taken? Was there a line the next day? Like,
They would have been sold out the next day of most stuff, especially that model.
So the night that you spent in a lawn chair on a sidewalk earned me what? How many days with an iPhone that I wouldn't have had?
I mean, 6 to 7.
Six to seven. All right, Spencer. All right.
All right.
All right, Dan Harmon, too.
Hold on.
For not abusing his employees.
Oh, boy.
I got 7 days out of his 12 hours.
Pretty good.
I felt bad. I told him to get himself one, and then he couldn't because he was an Apple employee.
Yeah. I had an employee account that gave me, like, a cheap bill, but as a result, I was, like, locked onto bullshit. And I, you know, stopped being an employee, but I guess I didn't stop having a plan, so I couldn't get a phone.
So it was more about your phone plan than the Apple.
Yeah, well, I got the phone plan because of Apple, but it was the phone plan's lockedness. It was just bureaucracies.
All right.
Oh my gosh! You know what time it is? It's McGathy Game Corner time. Oh.
All right.
Welcome to McGathy's Game Corner. We'll do. Spencer, you want to play?
Oh yeah.
Can anyone else play? Like. Is it how many people can play?
We could have one more person, but only if maybe he's created something with you in the past. Maybe only if you've been. Is that what you're?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, but I don't want to. I don't know what your game is, so I don't want. Am I ruining it? Is there?
Let's welcome Rob Schraub to the stage.
Can I confess something that I just realized as I sat down? I didn't realize consciously I was doing this, or I would have been honest about it. What went through my head was, if there was someone else up here, according to the format of the show, I get to sit down. The format of the show being me doing whatever I want, so I could have sat down.
You could have started the show sitting.
Yeah, I could roll out here on a surfboard.
You could lay down.
Kittens pulling it. Yeah. Anyways, thank you.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good.
Wow, double making.
Good. I just saw this Insidious Chapter 2. You ever see that?
No.
Anybody see this Insidious Chapter 2?
What's Insidious 1? That's one of those kids' paranormal movies, right?
The first one is not too bad. I actually
is it another like with the camera and the everyone's
No. Well, there were cameras involved. That's why I got to see it.
Well, in our day, there were always cameras involved, but there was craftsmanship too.
Right.
You didn't just put one of these things on a dresser and say, "Oh boy, I'm Citizen Kane now."
I didn't like it. I know that felt like a setup that I was going to start like doing like 15 minutes on why Insidious 2 was bad, but I just wanted to say I didn't like it. We can get on with the game.
Did you see it? Did you see it in the theater?
I saw it with Steve Agee.
In the theater?
In the theater, yes.
Yeah.
What's it like seeing a movie with Steve Agee?
What's it like?
Yeah.
He leans forward a lot, which is kind of, you know what? Because I'll sit and crouch, but he'll like lean forward a lot, and that's weird.
I think it's because he's really tall.
I think it's because he's, yeah.
Oh, he has probably anxiety about being
That's
a tall guy
in
a movie theater.
But
I have that. We
saw The Conjuring together, which was really good. I really liked that. I thought it was, had some heightened moments.
What did you see? What?
The Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
It's another movie.
Yeah. Is that about some kind of wizard or something?
No. No, it's
not. Like a Harry Potter thing?
No. It was like Ronald.
Is that one of those Hogwarts?
No. Keep going. No. It was this thing. It starred Ron Livingston and the guy that played Owlman from Watchmen that looks like Rob Hubel.
Right. Yeah, Rob Hubel from The Watchmen. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, Rob Hubel from The Watchmen.
Patrick
who's also in Insidious 2. I heard that Rob Hubel auditioned for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Wait, yeah. As Abe Lincoln or just...
As Abraham Lincoln, yeah. That'd be a different movie, wouldn't it?
I think it would go something like this.
A 77.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Rob Hubel? That's what you sound like.
That's what you sound like, Cubes. Where was I? No, we saw The Conjuring together, and watching scary movies with AG is awesome because he's like, oh, shit, during all like the tense moments. Yeah. It was really fun. It was fun. This movie wasn't so fun because it sucked.
Insidious 2, huh?
Insidious 2.
So had you seen Insidious 1?
Yes, I did.
Well, what's Insidious 1? Give me the breakdown.
Okay. Well,
give me the goods. Give me the deets.
Insidious 1.
Give me the elevator pitch.
Okay. Insidious 1 is basically...
Beginning, middle, end.
Okay. Insidious 1...
5,000 words.
And basically Poltergeist.
Fade in and all of the slug lines. So each location. Give me the one sheet.
Okay,
give me the transportation budget.
No, seriously.
A shot list. Draw some storyboards.
Give me the shipwreck comic strip of it.
Give me the novelization.
Yeah, the novelization. Okay.
give me just preface. The McDonald's cups.
Okay. I can't keep up with it. No. Insidious 1 is like this couple. They have a kid. He goes unconscious. He doesn't come out of consciousness. They find out that he has the ability to astral project, but got lost in this place called the Further. And the thing about when you astrally project, your spirit goes out of your body, but then it's like your empty vessel of a body like draws ghosts who want to.
It's like a lawn chair outside an Apple store.
Yes. Yes. and that all that stuff was like really good, and then it kind of at the end it had some good stuff.
It's just a spider monster. It just turns out
it was a four-legged spider monster.
Yeah.
Interesting, Rob. How do you think that
called man? It asks the question. It's a movie that asks the question: who's the real spider monster? Isn't man just a four-legged spider monster?
Well, that's what I meant.
That doesn't spin webs.
That's what I meant by a four-legged.
I know. I'm yes, Andy. I'm having fun with you.
Rob, how well do you think that prepared you for McGathy's Game Corner?
Very, very well. Yes.
All right. Oh my God, guys, that was my first good sound cue ever that I've ever done. Thanks. So Harmontown attracts a variety of dynamic and interesting characters.
Men.
Stand up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So
16.
Many people. Dynamic, interesting people who become a part of the show a few
Stand
months ago.
Up. I'm sorry.
A few months ago, we were gifted with some beef jerky. From
Ooh, I heard about this. Ooh, the beef jerky.
Yeah. We were gifted by a man named Bill, who's sitting in the front row. That's Bill, Rob, in the black shirt. And Bill, why don't you jump on the mic for this intro?
Yeah, why don't you, Bill?
Just for the intro. In case you
okay, so I'm up here for
stay.
5 seconds and then I sit down, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So Bill brought some very special beef jerky from Texas, from this beef jerky distributor that he very much believes in.
Did you close the Ziploc bag before you left Texas?
Bill did everything right. This was a totally like random bad luck experience.
This is beef's fault.
This is beef's fault. It's not necessarily the manufacturer's fault. It's just a random occurrence.
I just
Things happen.
Forget about it.
Well, no. Of course you can't. So
has the game started?
So Bill passed out. Bill passed out the jerky. There was some mold on the jerky. Whatever.
Yeah,
anyway.
There was a lot
of mold. Okay. Someone just said there's a lot of mold on the jerky. Okay. Anyway. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Bill, since then, has sat in the front row and has become part of the landscape that is the Harmontown audience. So we are going to play a game called the Beef Fungus Bill Game.
When you brought him up, I was reminded that he made, did you know that he made, and we never he made a iPad stand. Bill, obviously, also, he makes this wood stuff. He made quotes on little wood slats for us, Harmontown quotes. By the way, Bill, remember the quote that we thought was erroneous or whatever that said it wasn't. I said whatever it was on there. That season two of Community was written on anus or something.
Yeah.
For some reason, I said that. Probably because I was on something else. And the
Pittsburgh.
And then also, he made a Dungeon Master iPad stand for Spencer to Dungeon
and
Master
Adam
with.
Goldberg.
What?
All right. So Bill is we are aware.
There's more than one prototype.
We are aware of Bill, and Bill is part of Harmontown. But what do we really know about Bill, you guys?
I just said it all.
Right, exactly. That's all we know.
Yeah.
So earlier today, Bill sent me some true facts about himself.
Oh, nice.
All right. So thank you, Bill. You can go ahead and sit down. I don't want your face to like affect the judging. But thank you. Let's give him a really big hand.
Sweetie, can I ask you, when Bill sent you this email with all these true facts about himself, was that solicited? or is this another situation?
Oh, that's so flattering. I would be flattered. No, it was not a situation. That was
What's
a really
a situation?
Weird way for me to react to that.
You know, some guy sending you an email with a bunch of facts about himself, unsolicited.
Did this happen before to you?
Well, look at her. Bro.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice.
Happens all the time.
Avoiding the question.
All right.
She does a podcast where she says, "Hey, I care about you. I'm Aaron McGathy. I'm your best friend. I care about your relationships. Here's all about mine." And, you know, it invites its fair share of intimacy from strangers.
I wish that it came in the form of just facts about listeners. Like, that would be fun. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and play this game. We have 10 questions.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Can we get Rob a cup?
I don't want a cup.
No, we can get you a cup. Hold on.
No. I don't want to keep going with your game thing.
I saw them scramble in the back.
No, don't. I'm sorry. I'm not going to interrupt anymore. I'm terribly sorry.
Have a drink, Rob. We're going to get you a cup so you can have a drink.
Okay. The explanation of this game is very, very brief, so I'm going to explain it very briefly. I have 10 questions. Every question includes a true fact about Bill. The other things are not true. The three of you are going to individually, you're on your own team, you are going to decide what is the true Bill fact. Right. And you are allowed to discuss it with each other, discuss it with yourself, explain why you discuss it with yourself. Explain why you feel that way. So let's go ahead and let's get started.
All right, one of these is true. We're picking the one that's true.
You're picking the one
first?
That's true.
Who goes first?
We'll do it counterclockwise. And we'll start with Spencer.
We're in a line.
I know. I just
Who's reading the clock?
I just threw it out there. We'll start with Spencer, and we'll go Spencer, Dan, Rob, as far as like who gets to give their final answer first. All right, question number one. One of these is real, the other two are fake. Bill spells his name with one L because, and these are quotes. A, it's my own little pretentious contrivance. In honor of Sesame Street, two L's seems like a waste. B, it's my own little pretentious contrivance. My father was a two-L'd Bill who earned both. I leave it to you to decide what that means. C, it's my own little pretentious contrivance. I enjoy correcting people.
So it's me, right?
Yeah, but you guys can discuss what you...
Can we have some thought music?
You can.
Okay, keep going.
I'm not the best DJ, but no, you can. No, no, I mean, it might be a cow farting, but I'll find something.
Okay, I thought it'd be like, I don't know. Okay.
I mean, when you hear the first one, you're like, this sounds like the real one. It sounds like he's trying to be clever, but all of them sounded like that.
I know which one it is.
Oh, do you?
No, I mean, I think I know.
Tell me which one you think it is.
Well, is the point for him to?
Well, I want
to
win. So.
Well, you guys have a minute of discussing it out loud and making your points, and then you'll give your final answers.
Okay, what's your thing, Harmon?
But if I share my reasoning, then they get to piggyback on my intuition.
You're right. You're right. Okay, so we'll go down the line, Spencer.
What he said.
I want a final answer from this guy before I swoop in and snatch it up.
You're totally right. Balderdash rules.
I
want
to hear
you go
what
first.
Dan has to say.
Okay, but Spencer, in this round, you go first, so you decide.
Okay, that makes sense. I'd like to pick A because, I mean, that sounds right.
The
right?
Sesame Street? It's my,
yeah,
honor Sesame
they
Street.
Value letter economy, right?
Okay.
I don't understand the Sesame Street reference.
They value letter economy.
They do?
That's well, letters are very important.
Well, letters
Sesame
are
Street.
Their sponsor. They're
you
not
can't
gonna...
just have two.
I still don't get the connection to Sesame Street, though. I understand letters are on the show. But I don't understand why. I don't remember. I mean, I've seen them all, and I don't remember somebody coming out to never put two L's next to each other.
No, I don't think they did. I think they just imparted the value of an L to you to the extent that... That
don't buy it.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm gonna go with B, and I'll tell you why.
Because to the dad one, 2L Bill.
B, yeah, that's the dad one. Mm-hmm. Dad, 2Ls, whatever. I've met a lot of fellas who use their middle name as their first name because people who spell their first name differently, etc. It always has to do with a fucked up relationship with their dad. And we'll go with that.
All right, Rob.
I'm gonna take C because that's the only one I remembered.
I enjoy correcting people?
Yes. Yes! That's exactly the one.
The correct answer is A, the Sesame Street answer.
Oh. That's not fair. He went first.
Well, some would argue everyone would argue he's in the worst position. In this round, Dan will guess first, and then Rob, and then Spencer.
Good, I like
question number
darn
two.
Tootin'.
Question number two. A. I won a Philo T. Farnsworth Award for video art. B. I won a Philo T. Farnsworth Award for my work with children's hospitals. C. I won a Philo T. Farnsworth Award for urban planning.
Why do you keep saying teen?
Huh? T. 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 Sorry.
Philo T. Farnsworth. It's like a new Nickelodeon cartoon. I will go with A because Philo T. Farnsworth invented television.
Okay, I think we're learning about how much I know about Philo T. Farnsworth. Sorry. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
I don't know who this Philo guy is, but Bill seems like a kind of a video person. I'm also going to go with A, but I thought of that before Harmon said anything. And I would have got that first one if I had some music to think. What kind of
Spencer?
Shit are you running here?
I'm going to go with A because I had a good reason for it.
All right, that is correct.
All right.
It is A. Anyway.
We all win.
We're all tied up.
Philo T. Farnsworth was reportedly, I don't know if it's urban legend, supposedly was thought of the idea for television while mowing his lawn, noticed that the rows and columns of the different squares, like, looked at them and kind of came up with the idea of what we would one day call pixels.
Right.
Yeah.
And the T... is where we get TV from.
That's correct. That is correct. The T was taken from his name.
Philo TV Farnsworth.
The weird thing is the T stands for toilet. His dad always wanted him to invent the toilet.
Fuck that.
Philo, I didn't know you could name your kid after something you used to make necklaces with. All right, number three.
You can name your kid after everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. All right.
Or anything.
But you can't name him a number. So somebody tried to name their kid a number in, like, Europe somewhere. And then another
they
kid.
They ripped his cyborg guy.
Someone else tried to name their kid Adolf Hitler or something.
Somebody tried to name their kid God.
And they didn't let that happen?
No, no. The judge said, no, that's just for, that's that name is for the creator. It was totally...
Oh.
That's fucked up.
Just like Kanye West?
The Hitler thing, I mean, come on, you can't fight City Hall. But, I mean, the God thing, what? That's silly.
Whatever.
Okay, question number three. And this, Rob, you will answer this first. And I promise there will be thinking music.
Good.
Question number three. When I was in grade school, I won two gold and several silver medals. Sorry. When I was in grade school, I won two gold and several silver medals for A, science, B, singing, C, shot put.
What was the second one?
Singing.
Singing. Oh.
A, science, B, singing, C, shot put.
Waiting.
Who's giving medals to grade schoolers?
I just love that he specified several silver medals. Several. That kind of means a gold.
Yep. That kind of specificity only comes from somebody who is interested in science. Only.
All right. Science.
However.
The music helped.
I'd like to point out that the score was erroneously reported as tied earlier.
No, I took it back right away. I said, no, it's not. You have two and the other, and Spencer.
Just
and
settle
Rob
down,
and Dan,
huh?
I'm just...
What? The game's not over yet, let's, man.
You're totally right. I said it, and I took it back right
away. Just settle down.
Just clarifying for the podcast.
Well, don't worry.
It is not tied. Spencer has two, Dan has one, Rob has one.
Now, Bill seems like the type who can put a shot.
All right.
That's the whole shot putting. That's
okay.
My answer.
All right. Spencer's answer is shot put. Dan?
My instinct is to go away from science because it feels obvious because he's a Harmontown attendee and he makes things and so it would be weirder for him to be a good singer or a shot putter. If you're in grade school, I mean, that doesn't have any bearing on what you become. Just because he doesn't look like Jesse Ventura now doesn't mean he wasn't the ace shot putter of his grade school. I mean, what did it take back then? You have to shoot a heavy ball further than a bunch of fourth graders. You know, you could have been good at anything. The question is, would you think of the word shot put as a comedic third? And I feel like the answer is yes. There wasn't a comedy one in there. There wasn't one with a zing. That's the zingy one.
Show business.
I think that was written by a zinger. So I'm going to go with singing.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Well done. The score is now...
This game sucks.
Score is Spencer 2, Dan 2, Rob 1.
Fuck off.
All right. Spencer will start the answering in this round.
I hate games. I can't believe you brought me up for the game, man.
Well, after this, we're going to play D&D,
game.
So get ready.
That's a different kind. You can't lose at that.
Oh, you can. We've been doing it for months.
Question number four.
I always lose.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Bill was in marching band.
Really?
He played...
True.
So was I, Bill.
He played one of these three instruments.
Heart strings.
A, drum. B, oboe. C, alto sax. A, drum. B, oboe. C, alto sax.
Who's first?
Me,
Spencer,
right?
Spencer is first.
I just... Yeah, oboe.
What's your reasoning? Because this is a bad question. It's really arbitrary.
I just really wanted to say oboe.
All right, oboe.
It's fun.
I don't think it's arbitrary at all. I think that Bill is clearly a sax man because he looked at the marching band as an opportunity to... Yeah, it's a sexy instrument. It's a Bill Clinton instrument. He saw himself sitting in the window. He's like, man, I have all this aptitude for science and music, but I'm never going to be like Motley Crue because I value the rule of law.
All right.
So what instrument gets pussy without breaking the law? The answer is sax.
I know. I know what you're gonna say.
Let them all answer, then I'll throw out a fact, and then they can revise their answer.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Please.
I love you. This is why I didn't want you on stage. All right. We'll bring you up for a follow-up. So if you would like a notepad or something so you can remember these. Okay. That sounded me. Or no, it didn't. I'm in my head. Sorry. Okay. You were going with sax. Sexy sax, which is like making out with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you're silhouetted in a window in an 80s set.
Yeah. Yes.
Dan, would you do that as Rob's thinking music?
All right,
go ahead, Rob.
He just did. Okay. He just did. Bill with 1L, you seem to me as somebody who, when you were younger, had longer hair. Drummer.
That is correct.
You know what? It didn't occur to me. Drums are pretty sexy, too. I was just picturing the marching band drum, the one that's just tethered to your torso and you like an Energizer bunny.
Yeah.
All right.
Sexy.
But it's marching band. You played a drum. No, never mind.
Now,
no.
you were pretty good, right? Yeah, come on. All right.
He was specifically fifth bass drum. So I don't know, does that mean fifth chair? Or is that a specific... Oh, the biggest bass drum.
The biggest one, Aaron.
All right, question number five.
I was last chair trumpet.
In a three-way with Vince Vaughn. It's not even a musical term.
It's just before I came here.
All right, this... This question includes four quotes. This is a four-option answer, and we're going to start with Dan in the answering. A, I've had migraines since I was 16. B, I've had parakeets since I was 16. C, I've had arthritis since I was 16.
Shit.
D, I've had lizards since I was 16.
You're so proud of yourself for creating perfectly equidistant possibilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Only one of those is true.
Yeah.
Lizards, parakeets, arthritis, or migraines.
Yep.
God
migraines,
damn it.
Migraines, parakeets.
Did you say this was a lightning round? Or would it...
No.
Oh, okay.
We have four choices as opposed to three.
Oh. It's the molasses round. Oh. God damn it. Okay, parakeets, too contained. He would look at them. The throbbing heart of a Freeman beats in Bill's chest. That's why he works with wood and beef. Lizards, there's the science angle. Oh, it's lizards are supposed to be gross, but I'm a scientist. I value them because I'm scientific. Migraines and arthritis. Arthritis, he wouldn't do all that handiwork. Migraines.
All right, Rob?
Lizards. For the same reasons that Dan said.
Spencer?
I don't want to live in a world where Bill had parakeets.
He goes home and
what happened
tells
to
him
you?
About how did Harmontown go tonight, Professor Feathers?
He's an expert.
Yeah.
What happened to you in that line, man?
What? Oh. Man, after that line, I went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, and I was texting on my cell phone, And the way I was texting, I don't know, but like it was like it lined up some pathways in my brain, and I felt like I was a living god for that moment, like like high on all the drugs that your brain makes itself. Like I was just like, ah, like I could just like pass through the walls and.
So are you saying lizards?
Shoot laser beams at people's heads.
Just because of sleep deprivation?
A combination of that and success, and I'm sure you know. Who knows? What I'm trying to say is that if Bill actually did have parakeets, then our relationship will fundamentally change from here on. I'm gonna pick migraines because I feel like I got migraines around that age, and that seems like something that crops up at 16.
Around Bill's age? Oh, since 16, he said. I was like,
well, Spencer is correct.
And Dan.
It is. And Dan. Sorry, yeah. Spencer and Dan are correct. It was migraines. Migraines. The score is Spencer 3, Dan 3.
We know.
Rob.
We know. We know. We know what the score is.
What's Rob's score?
Fuck off! Shut up!
Rob is in last place with 2.
Oh. Shut up.
I was just trying to play it. Yeah.
Number 6. Three quotes. I have been bungee jumping. I have been skydiving. I have not been on an airplane. A. I have been bungee jumping. B. I have been skydiving. C. I have not been on an airplane. We were going to start with this, Rob. We were going to start with Rob.
Music. Okay. Oh, God. I don't know how to do this. Okay, the music's fucking with me. Okay, get rid of it.
Bungee jumping, skydiving. Never been on a plane.
Skydiving.
All right, Spencer?
I'm gonna pick skydiving.
Okay, Dan?
Am I the only one? If C is correct, then B can't be. If he was never on a plane, he could... unless you pulled a bungee cord really tight and flew him into the air, I don't think he could ever skydive without having been on a plane, which
yeah,
means
if,
that...
If B was right, then C couldn't be. I mean...
And since B and C have a relationship with each other, then I'm going to go with A. He's been bungee jumping.
Okay. The correct answer is B, skydiving. Spencer's in the lead. Dan and Rob are tied. Question number 7. This is the ice cream question.
We get ice cream?
All the ice cream you want. I once won a year's supply of ice cream, and I always chose bubblegum because A, it's a dessert and an activity. B, I actually thought it was cotton candy flavored. C, I knew my dad wouldn't eat it. A, it's a dessert and an activity. B, I actually thought it was cotton candy flavored. C, I knew my dad wouldn't eat it.
D, I make poor life decisions. Who's going first?
Who's going this round? Who starts this round? Spencer, okay. It's you.
I'm going to go with B for whatever reason.
He actually thought it was cotton candy flavored.
Sure.
Okay, Dan?
I'll go with C because of my continuing fixation on fathers.
All right.
I'm going to go with A because it is true.
It's a dessert and an activity. The correct answer is C. I knew my dad wouldn't eat. That brings Rob back to last place. Spencer and Dan tied for first. All right, here we go. A, I have a... Sorry?
No, I was cursing this game.
A, I have a bunch of magnets on my fridge. B, I have 2 sewing kits. C, I have 455 Pez dispensers. A, I have a bunch of magnets on my fridge. B, I have 2 sewing kits. C, I have 455 Pez dispensers. We're going to start with Dan.
Fuck. Okay. I keep going to... You asked him to email a bunch of facts about himself. So he might have, during a falter, might have gone, I don't know, I have a bunch of magnets on my fridge. What else? Like, maybe. Because that 455 Pez dispensers thing, that seems like a make-em-up. And the what's the other one? The
two sewing kits.
Two sewing kits. That's pretty specific. I'm going to go with sewing kits.
Okay. Rob?
I'm also going to go with sewing kits, but I thought of it before Dan said anything. Because
I'll
he works with his hands and stuff.
Yeah. You do a really good job. Spencer?
Thank you. That's all I wanted tonight.
I'm going to go with sewing kits because that's the lowest stakes for me.
So it doesn't matter what the answer is. This
How come this
to
is
watch.
Not important to you?
It is.
This
just,
is so important
I'm
to me, and you don't care.
I'm playing it like a game.
And you're winning.
Yeah, that's why.
The correct answer is I have a bunch of magnets on my fridge. That's the correct answer. All right, moving on. We're almost done.
Stupid.
Second to last question.
I love this game, Aaron.
Thanks, Spencer.
Yeah, balanced viewpoints.
Are you starting to rethink your position on Dungeons & Dragons? Do you think this is a better game?
I'm definitely considering how to work audience member trivia into my encounters.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there could be a whole convention for this.
I'm sure.
All right, question number 9. I was in the talent show in the 5th grade, and I sang, A, Don't Rain on My Parade. B.
Dad, fiddler. Don't hit me. An original piece by...
B. Fiddler on the Roof. C. Luck Be a Lady.
Ooh, that's a good one.
A. Don't Rain on My Parade. B. Fiddler on the Roof. C. Luck Be a Lady.
What's Don't Rain on My Parade? I don't know what that is.
Don't tell me not to fly. Just it's from Funny Girl.
It's from what?
It's from Funny Girl.
Okay.
It's a Barbara Streisand.
Okay, so
song.
You put that one in there. Okay.
But all of these songs are very popular songs. I'm gonna live and... I'm not gonna do the justice.
I would like to hear two bars of Fiddler
for
on the Roof.
For thinking
please.
Music.
Like a fiddler on the roof!
Okay.
I mean, it's not actually a song.
All right.
Well, I will... May God bless and protect
okay.
us.
So that's another made-up one. Who's going?
Sorry. Rob is starting. Rob is starting, correct? Yes, thank you. Sorry.
It's your game. Let me say, Fiddler on the Roof's a classic, but Luck Be a Lady is a crowd pleaser, so I'm going to say Luck Be a Lady.
Okay.
That's a drummer's song.
They just did that at the Emmys tonight. Luck Be a Lady?
They sure did.
Whoa.
Wow.
How did you know that?
It was on while I was sleeping. I woke up to
How
Don
do
Cheadle like doing this weird monologue. I had a half a fever dream where Don Cheadle's voice was in my ear talking about how television's an amazing thing because Kennedy got his brains blown out and the TV was there for that. And then a couple weeks later, the Beatles made it okay to laugh again. And here's Carrie Underwood. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? What are you talking about? It's just a piece of technology that has enslaved all of us. It's not a cultural icon. Ah, television.
Philo TV.
When Kennedy
Farnsworth.
Died, when Beatles, like, yeah, and everything else. What are you talking about? I was like, oxygen. Kennedy breathed it for his last breath. Then the Beatles exhaled it during Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Here's Carrie Underwood spewing out some more. Enjoy your TV. It's not dying. Grand Theft Who? Enjoy the Emmys. It was just weird to wake up to that. That's all. So Don Cheadle's voice in my ear, and you know how you make it part of your dream. You know when you hear stuff.
Absolutely.
So
no.
You don't know? Oh.
Rob's guess is Luck Be a Lady, Spencer.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Luck Be a Lady.
Okay, Dan?
Luck Be a Lady, because here's the thing. Fiddler on the Roof, I don't even know that that's a song.
That's the correct answer. It is Fiddler on the Roof. Maybe it means the entire musical.
All right,
final question. The score...
So we all lose a point?
No, it just stays the same.
That doesn't help.
But that
me.
Is it. No, that's not.
Shit. We'd be exactly where we are.
This round will determine whether you're worse than us or just equal. That's it. You have no chance of
like
being superior.
Every game I've ever played. Go ahead, do it. That's why you invited me up here, Aaron.
all right, this next round is unique to the other rounds. As we stand, Spencer has 4, Dan has 4, Rob has 3.
Yes, we...
Four, you're unclear at home, 4 is more than 3. In this last round, there are many different options for the correct answer. We'll go around first. If you choose the correct answer in the first round, you'll get 2 points. Meaning that anyone who guesses this correctly wins. Around, and then we'll just do that. Okay. Final round.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. You'll see. Final round. Basically, it's so close. Whoever guesses this first wins, and this is going to start with Spencer.
Wait, do we have to chime in? Or
No. We'll still do the round robin thing, and then I'll say the correct answer after the 3.
Okay.
Here we go.
The straight line.
Yeah. Sorry. It's not a round robin at all. That refers to a very specific thing. Okay. Until I took up woodwork, I made music in my spare time. I have an album I released on Amazon.
Wait, are these...
This is a quote, and now I'm going to list several different names of what Bill's original album is called.
Amazing. Okay. All right.
Here we go. I'm really good at making games, you guys. Yeah. All right. A. Oh, thanks. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I solicited applause. Okay. A. Time on Inside. B. Personal Records. C. Empty Swing Set.
D. Bloody Belt. In a puddle of Jack Daniels. Next to a station wagon. With my father's monogrammed car keys.
You're describing the album art.
I've already forgot the first one.
Okay. A, Time on Inside. B, Personal Records. C, Empty Swing Set. D, Mighty Will, Heart Will Come. E, Indiana. C,
Holy shit.
Dad's Car. Wait, not C. Next one. Rain, Take a Bow. Next one. Run, walk, run. Periods after each of those words. Next one. Catch a day. No punctuation. Next one. Notes! Exclamation point. Next one. Live it down. Okay, so those are all the options. I apologize for the lettering. One of those is an original album by Bill. I'll read them again really, really fast. Dang. Time on Inside, Personal Records, Empty Swing Set, Mighty Will, Heart Will Come, Indiana, Dad's Car, Rain, comma, Take a Bow, Run, Walk, Run, Catch the Day, Notes, exclamation point, and Live It Down. All right. Stakes going to be higher.
Is it me?
Yeah.
I got to go with, the dad issues thing makes me want to think Dad's Car, but I got to go with Run, Walk, Run.
Run, Walk, Run.
What? I'll go with Dad's
run,
Car.
Run, Walk, Run.
Dad's Car. I got to double down on all my dad stuff.
Dad's Car. Okay.
I'm going to need you to say them all again.
Time on Inside, Personal Records, Empty Swing Set.
You're just mushing them all into one album.
You can okay, I'll say, I'll emerald it. I'll say bam after each of them.
Okay.
Time on Inside, bam. Personal Records, bam. Empty Swing Set, bam. Mighty Will, Heart Will Come, bam, Indiana, bam, dad's car, ban, bam, rain, take a bow, bam, run, walk, what, wait, I don't know, I'm like, Madeline Kahn every time I read that, run, walk, run, bam, catch the day, bam, notes, exclamation point, bam, live it down, bam.
Lightning walk, run will come. What is it?
Run, run, walk, run.
No, that's not it. It's the other one.
What's Mighty that? Will, heart will come.
Mighty will, heart will come.
Okay. You all chose made up titles, so we'll do this again. All right, we'll start with Dan.
And cross off the ones that we chose.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So we don't
thank
do
you.
It yeah. again.
Yeah, because I don't know. Yeah, I was too busy. I was Instagramming a picture of you comptrolling, and it was 9/11 over your shoulder.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's real funny. Let's laugh. Laugh at that. Have a good laugh.
Okay. Here we go. So this will start with Dan. Here are the albums left. Time on Inside. Bam. Personal Records. Bam. I don't need to say bam.
Don't say bam.
Personal Records. Empty Swing Set. Indiana. Rain, Take a Bow. Catch the Day. Notes. Live it down.
Okay, Notes, Catch the Day, Rain, Take a Bow. Too pretentious for Bell. Like too grandiose. Personal Records.
All right, Rob?
Empty Swing Set. Why are you giving me that look?
My smile?
Yeah.
Because I like you?
Thank you.
Okay. Spencer?
I thought it was Personal Records too, but I feel like I'm just copying.
I'm gonna do it.
So we tie, whatever.
The correct answer is Personal Records!
Well, if you want to win, that's how you do it.
Let's give a really, really heartfelt round of applause to Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
And I promise that Bill could come up and say, or come up and if you
let's
could...
Hear, let's hear your thoughts,
let's
Bill.
Hear your thoughts.
I'm sorry, I don't really have that many thoughts.
Oh, now. You don't? Okay. Oh. I was giving you the floor.
Well, no, I just wanted to say, Rob, you totally nailed the long hair thing, man.
See?
Totally nailed it.
See?
And the
I
thing
have
that
my uses.
Being in the drumline, I liked Rush. And didn't get laid.
All right,
great. Good. Beefsteak.
Thank you, Bill.
Beefsteak Bill. Now he's Beefsteak Bill, everybody. He's earned a higher title.
Now he's just Beef Bill.
Yeah, he said in his email that he resented the Beef Fungus Bill nickname.
Well, he's
I
never
think we
been,
all knew that.
Yeah, he's never been coy about not liking being called Beef Fungus Bill, nor do we care.
I gotta say, like, the getting a nickname.
I'm sure that Hamburglar wants to be called Senator. But you know what? Motherfucker stole a burger. No fry guy.
These are Dan's 5 minutes for a night at the Apollo.
If Senator Rob Strom Thurmond, all right. I was gonna say Strom Thurmond. That was the senator in my head. Who's probably still alive, Strom Thurmond. No, he finally died. If you would like to have 45 minutes of Harmontown dedicated to you, simply send a self-addressed stamped envelope nowhere and then come to the show every day, every week for like a year. Like, I'm just saying. It was a good segment, and some people might be wondering, like, who's Bill? He comes all the time.
I've been wondering something for a very long time, and now that I'm in the comptroller seat, I feel like I can explore it. You see the first and second row all the time. I'm so curious who's in the back. Could we talk to somebody in the back for a moment?
Those are the people that they're just standard customers. They're, often the answer is nobody because they come to the first half of the show and they go, fuck this.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Well, is there anybody that's usually in the back?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on down.
Are you...
someone sadly said...
Oh, there's BJ. Okay.
I thought I saw some cat ears.
All right, here comes Back Lady.
Back Lady! You're coming up.
Back be a lady tonight.
I'm also one of the interns, but I was a regular for Harmontown before I became an intern, so I lurk in the back.
And yes, and we've met before, but what was your name again?
Kelly.
Everybody? Kelly. Kelly, everybody.
So what's it like back there?
It's dark, and it's hard because when people, like, stand, because we have to sit at, like, the concession stand, so sometimes when people stand, like, in that general area, all of a sudden it's like, okay, can't see the stage, so you get the actual, like, podcast feeling, because all you can do is listen to it, but then, like, when something crazy visually happens, and it's like, okay, now I know how the listeners feel, I can't see anything.
You have to go to the hashtag on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
When did you just move to L.A.?
Actually, October 9th will be my one-year anniversary. So, sort of.
Are your dreams coming true? You're an intern at Nerdist at Meltdown. That's
pretty much it. But, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think that a year living here I'd be unemployed. But hooray! I'm in L.A.
You thought you'd be...
I thought I'd just be employed somewhere as, like,
what
an assistant.
What is your dream?
I want to write for TV. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So, preferably TV comedies. So,
cool. You know. The Emmys were tonight.
I know. We were actually just talking about them because we were looking on, like, the CNN. Because it popped up that Breaking Bad won for Best Drama. If nobody was paying attention. Hooray! And then, but like...
I hear it's good.
I'm going to check that out.
I watch it. It's phenomenal. And then Modern Family won for Best Comedy, but...
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Like usual. But apparently there's a lot of upsets this year, like who won like Best Actors and
That's
stuff.
That's what I heard. Like so, nobody swept.
Nobody swept. Like, Breaking Bad won for Best Drama, but Anna Gunn was the only one who won any actor awards for Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And then Modern Family, they won for Best Comedy, but none of their actors won for Best Comedy. So it's a really strange...
We were at the drawing room, and we were talking about the Emmys, and I was like, you know, they bother to do this arbitrary separation. That's that sound of the show's air getting let out in the background. They bother to do this arbitrary separation between comedy and drama, and so everything's bisected, especially nowadays, where it's like, okay... And Erin pointed out that she was watching Nurse Jackie, and I was sleeping in bed, and I woke up. Apparently, I'm an asshole in my sleep. I just woke up half asleep and went, hilarious. It's a hilarious show. They should nominate it for Best Comedy. And I, like, in my sleep, just still better, still an asshole. Anyways, but these divisions between drama and comedy exist, but what doesn't exist is a division between, say, the schedule, like the idea of, oh, is this a show that owed 25 episodes a year, or is this a show that was that had to do 10 episodes every 2 years? And then I stopped myself and I was like, wait, what am I talking about? This is perfect. The Emmys are actually the place where it all comes out in the wash, because if you make 13 episodes a year and you therefore get to make good television instead of focusing on revenue, then you have a better shot at an Emmy, and that's actually justice, I think. So I'm telling a story about how I had a thought and then it canceled itself out.
Well, my friends and I have actually been talking about it and saying that really there should be a division between network and cable, because cable often they have a bigger budget and they have the ability to do way more.
They used to have that division, but that threatened both the existence of cable and networks. Like they used to just, there was the Emmys and then there was the Cable Ace Awards. Like, you little darling cable shows. Here's a little ACE award for you. And then at a certain point, the Emmys are like, what are we going to do? Just stand here while Rome is burning? Are we going to keep having the Emmys? Are we going to invite HBO into this so we can give all the awards to them?
I think
the interesting thing is that television is still an art form, still a medium. I think that's what Don Cheadle was trying to say when I was waking up. I think his point was that, isn't it funny that throughout all of this, all of the weird permutations that cinema is going through and music and stuff, that television, you know, it is still a thing called television, and it does carry a certain cultural weight, and movies are getting shittier and shittier.
Insidious.
And TV continues to get like as we start to mash it into a, I guess that's sort of like print is probably the biggest analogy, because after you mashed Time and Life magazine into 1,000 cat fancies, that's when magazines started to get good. Oh shit, there's a ninja magazine? Like that's Breaking Bad. It's like the more surface area.
Breaking Bad's a ninja magazine?
I will never make myself clear to these people. Anyways, whatever. I can talk. You know what? This podcast should be called I Go to Bed and Mumble Things Until I Fall Asleep. What are you plugging, Kelly?
Chips?
No.
Soda?
I mean, if you want to buy everything, it's $1 for sodas.
All right, all right. Everything's
$1. Kelly, you don't have to do that. You don't have
anybody,
to do that.
And if anybody has any jobs, call me.
All right, Kelly, everybody. Call her. She'll be here. Thank you very much.
She wants to work at TV comedy. We'll see. Maybe she'll meet somebody.
Kelly just whispered to me that Merritt Weaver won for supporting actress. She's amazing on Nurse Jackie. She's really great. Yeah.
Cool.
This year was weird because the categories were so loaded with amazing actors, and some people are saying some really mean, bullying things about the people who won.
What example?
Yeah, what was that?
In the best actor category, everyone thought that Bryan Cranston was going to be a shoo-in. But then Bob Cavalli, am I saying that right?
Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cannavale from Boardwalk Empire won against Jon Hamm and all the guys from Breaking Bad, and also with Best Supporting Actress? Or Best Supporting Actor?
Tony Hale.
Who's great. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Some people are just saying shitty things about...
Well, they're saying that, like, the...
During the show? Like, the next
person comes up...
What the fuck was that out of there?
Bob Newhart comes up and just goes... on Twitter.
Oh, Bryan Cranston, you should have got that award, man. You should have got that.
Oh, shit,
No respect.
Oh, man, it's this guy.
It's everybody's buddy from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Remember the Emmys when Amerigo Vespucci, what's her name, Ugly Betty, won?
America Ferrera. Amerigo Vespucci. Rob, you do a really good Amerigo Vespucci impression.
Yo, man, what's going on here? you should have got that award. It should have been Bryan Cranston, man. American Vespucci.
Hey, Amerigo Vespucci.
Yeah, man, ask me any question.
I know it says market price for the fish of the day. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's how it usually is every Friday. But, you know, you come in here, I'll give you 2% off and some lemon wedges.
All right.
Amerigo, what do you think about gas prices?
Oh, they're through the roof.
Do you drive it? What kind of car do you drive? Do you drive a car?
Oh, I got the Volt. I just plug it in. I don't even use gas. I haven't used gas since October.
Is that when you got your electric car?
No.
Okay. So you walked around and then you got an electric car.
Yeah, I walked to the car dealership.
Oh. Amerigo, I heard...
Aaron McGath. I'm losing the accent.
Oh, no.
Well, then what's left of the character?
Okay, keep going.
I heard that you and your girlfriend recently had a baby. What's the baby's name?
Volt.
All right. Obviously, there's some money-changing hands here.
Right.
America Ferrari. What's her name?
America Ferrera.
Okay. She won for Ugly Betty. Remember this year? The year I'm talking about? Remember? A couple years ago?
Is that Ugly Betty?
Sure. I don't remember what year, but
maybe it was the Golden Globes, but I remember watching TV and they were doing that thing where there's a person in the wings jumping on you like a harpy as you walk off the stage, and this poor girl who was on the show called Ugly Betty. She walked off stage after winning her award, and this woman, this waif from some entertainment show, pounces on her and goes, so, America Ferrara, how does it feel to win your first blah, blah, blah? And she's like, oh, it feels great. I'm just so glad. It hasn't sunk in or anything. So what do you have to say to all those people out there that said America Ferrara is not attractive enough to be a leading lady? I just stuck the mic in her face and she was like, what? Commercial. You know, the show's just called Ugly Betty. You know, that doesn't mean you get to kick me in the face. I'm a human being. All right, anyways. Television. It's still out there. It's still doing its thing. From Kennedy's assassination to the Beatles. And everything in between those 7 months. Don Cheadle will be there. This is so weird. Like at the Grammys, when there's always this weird moment where a guy comes out and yells at you for downloading music, and then recedes back into the rafters, starts playing his pipe organ again.
fun fact: Dan and I went to the last week. We were at the Creative Arts Emmys. Mm-hmm. And Dan was presenting, so he was backstage.
How was that? What was that? What did you do? What was your bit?
Our bit was, me and Joel McHale went out, and our bit was that.
How'd they introduce you first?
It was just the top of the show. Creative Arts Emmys has to run like a bobsled because it's 72 awards, and they. It's so weird because it's like, okay, it's the Creative Arts Emmys, so we understand. You're not going to show us during the primetime broadcast. So you would think that would mean then, okay, I won an award for hairdressing. I should be able to chew the scenery a little bit and go, like, hold my very real Emmy and go, like, okay, like, you know what? I've been putting my fingers through gross people's hair for 30 years, and I finally got a fucking Emmy for it. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving me the power to do hair at 6 in the morning. thank you to my mother who told me that doing hair wasn't, blah, blah, blah. Like, they give them, like, 14 seconds to get through the stuff because there's so many awards, and they tell them, the time you take getting to the stage comes off your time. So people who like are winning for like best belt making are like running, sprint
45
to
seconds.
The extent that they love their children and want to thank them more, they have to run. Like the longer they've been in the business, the more people they have to thank, the more they have to fucking truck it up there.
And
the faster this weird techno music starts playing, that when they play them off, I noticed the Emmys tonight, the real Emmys. They've created a very delicate playoff. Claire Danes was accepting, and it was like sort of like I guess live orchestra, probably they know what they're doing. They start vamping a little bit. That's the Creative Arts Emmys.
Yeah.
Is like some woman going up there going, my husband died while I was doing John Cheadle's wardrobe, and I told him I'd be home by 5. I was home by 5 the next morning.
It's
fucked up.
Including people accepting an award for a television program about kids with AIDS. And I was in the audience, and these people won this award, and they're like, you know, this award is, it's not about us. It's about, like, bringing attention to this issue. There are kids across the country who are suffering from this disease, and they're dying, and I just appreciate... And then at a certain point, like, they
okay,
were
thank you, kids. Thank you, AIDS. Good night.
Yeah. But I was going to say the coolest thing, like, that was a weird experience. But I was sitting out in the audience alone, like, towards the front. I got to watch one of my childhood heroes, Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God, Morgan Freeman, watch Dan present this award. Like, I don't even know what Dan looked like while he was presenting the award, because I was just like, ah. Like, Scott
Were
Bakula,
they saying anything? Was like, oh.
They're like, oh, he's really.
What is that young man doing up there?
Okay, Scott Bakula and Morgan Freeman.
They were hanging out together?
They were sitting right next to each other. But you two,
hey,
Scott
Bakula, you want to go to the Schmemmies with me? Oh, if you're driving, I'll go. They sound exactly the same.
And that's how it happened. Yeah. And also, sorry?
I've cleared my throat, so please continue. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Lost my train of thought. But before the Emmys, when Dan was backstage, so a producer comes out and says, okay, we need to get some shots of the audience. We need to see you guys smiling and clapping, you know, when they go to the audience, when like you're really happy because Anna Gunn won or sad because you won or whatever. We had to do these like laughing and whatever things. And I was really not into it. And then I look over at Scott Bakula and Morgan Freeman, super into it. Like, guys, look like something really funny happened. Morgan Freeman, throwing his head back, camera right in his face, him and Scott Bakula, like they do it. They really
I have
know
to imagine
how to do
that
it.
They're either doing a bit, they're doing it ironically and having fun because they know they're going to be front and center, or because in the past they haven't done it and it's like blown back on them in some weird way.
What's up with Morgan Freeman? Yeah,
what's his problem with AIDS?
You get a Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones famously at the Oscars, grumpy face Tommy Lee Jones. Like, no one wants to be Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. That's what it is.
I do.
Speaking of Tommy Lee Jones, holy shit, Batman Forever.
Ugh, it's like watching your dad come down during a sleepover and like try to play cards with your friends. Dad, no, we don't want to play cards. We're talking about boys. It's horrible.
I don't want to pimp anybody to do impressions, but
especially not me.
But the hardest I ever laughed in my entire life was when we were in Milwaukee and was driving. The snow was on the road, and I was just driving with Schraub, and he was just being Two-Face, and I was just asking him questions.
Me going like this.
He's just mad about the. Hey, Two-Face.
Yes.
Hey,
this is going to sound a lot like my other impression.
But it's not really. It's more of a character.
What do you want to know, man?
Two-Face.
Thanks for the ride, by the way. Yeah.
For the home listener, Rob is holding a side of his face and trying to.
Half of my face. Yeah. Holding.
What do you like in your coffee? Do you like
half and half?
Yeah, yeah.
Two-Face.
Wow, you're so villainous.
Two-Face. I like two things.
Two-Face. Everyone has to bring something to this this potluck picnic. Dan's bringing casserole. I'm bringing soda. What are you gonna bring?
Two cupcakes
of the same flavor.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
He was doing it for an hour. We were driving around, and then at the end of it, I said, "What's your favorite movie?" And
Predator 2.
Predator 2.
I could have said Critters 2.
Predator 2.
That's
he loves
one.
Predator 2. I saw that they show the thing. They show the court video.
I don't like Face Off.
No, God no. Oh, terrible.
I got really angry.
Yeah. If
they only took off half the face.
It's like Catcher in the Rye. Yeah.
All right. We got to play Dungeons & Dragons. We only have so much time here, folks.
Yes.
Come on. For God's sake.
Right. Rob, you're
What are you, sitting over there hoping we won't play?
I'm sorry. Did you notice how hilarious that whole thing was? It was hilarious.
What, are you saying it was not hilarious?
What?
He gets so high before the show. That's it. That's all. All the questions you have about Spencer, that's all. That's the
that's
only answer.
That's libel.
That's libel to be true.
I think libel can be true. Yeah.
All right. So Rob, you are going to play Jeff's character.
Sure.
Okay, and why don't we have Beefsteak Bill play Kumail, right?
Okay.
As a reward for hanging out. All right, here we go. And here comes the music.
Last time on Harmontown, our heroes were exploring the Great Hall of Admiral Darkstar's Black Keep. There they encountered a paladin by the name of Kallus the Magnificent. I feel like I'm really fighting this music.
Oh, sorry.
It's cool. Kallus the Magnificent. They bullied him into killing himself in a room full of evil darkness.
Bullied?
Yeah. I'd say that's a pretty fair description.
No. We'll discuss that in a moment.
Then they started going up a staircase.
That's all.
Oh, okay. So let's can we do a little meta talk about that character and his attitude?
Yeah.
So we bullied him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair.
He was obstinate. He was assholish.
He came into your dungeon after fighting like two rooms full of tricky demons that tried to mess with his mind, and he thought you were tricky demons. So he came in, you know, full cocked.
Told him that we weren't tricky.
And he was like, prove it. And then you were like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, you guys got fucking skeletons. That's evil. And you were like, oh, I'm mad at you. And he's like, oh, well, maybe you're right. And then he felt kind of foolish. And then
So Shane killed him, really?
No, well, then that would have killed him. But then you guys started really, really firing back at him, being all like, oh, yeah, now you guys feel bad about yourself. And he's like, oh, that's fine. I'm going to go in this room. And then he got killed.
All right, so I guess that's technically bullying him.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
I don't feel bad.
You don't have to. It's
I feel great.
Some guy came in the room and whatever.
You
I don't feel bad either because he just sort of charged off into there. We were like, what about this room? He just like charged off.
He was a dick, and at one point I kneeled in front of him and offered to let him cut my head off if he. I was forthcoming.
Well, you're being a dick about
that.
That's
passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive.
Come on, cut my head off. Do it. No.
I mean, all right.
Done that to me before.
So we went. we went up a staircase. Here we are.
You still are.
A staircase? The October.
All this October at the holiday mattress store. I examine my staircase surroundings.
It's a long staircase. It kind of winds around in a circle, I guess.
What order are we?
More of a stairwell.
What order are we on the staircase?
You know, whatever.
No.
So right now, Rav, it's like when we play at home. Like, we're just interacting.
What?
I think we're in a line.
Yeah, I know we're in a line,
but we're
who's
not in
front
a fight.
And who's, like, in the middle? Who's in the back?
That's up to you guys. That's half the
fun. I got
an
idea. Let's have him be in the front.
I got to look at it.
I'll be in the front. I'm in the front.
Then you can be second.
All right.
That happens.
I start running up the staircase.
As you run up the stairs, you feel the temperature increasing. It's getting hotter. This is an Arctic kind of area, but it's hot.
Oh.
It's crazy.
Guys, this is weird.
It is weird.
It's weird for here.
Stop running up the stairs. You're breaking a sweat.
I feel the walls and see if the walls are warm.
The walls themselves aren't particularly warm. It's just the air somehow. As you are going up these stairs, you see a large orange metal door. It's like a safe door with a big kind of spinny handle thing.
Mm, I touched the door.
It's warm.
Oh, there's hot stuff on the other side.
Look under the crack.
I look under Rob's crack.
No! No, the crack of the door.
It's like a safe door. There's no crack.
Yeah,
you didn't check, did you?
I look under the crack.
There isn't one like
you. Okay, all right, now we know. It could be an above crack. You didn't check that either.
Okay, people, stand down. We got a hot door here. This is a hot door. It's a safe type door. There seems to be hot elements on the other side. At this point in time, I am a mage. I will cast resist elements on most of you. If you want resist elements cast upon you, please come to the front. If you are a skeleton or an assistant to a skeleton, please remain behind the living. I repeat, you will not have resist elements cast upon you if you are a skeleton. If you are a skeleton, you already resist elements. You are dead. I cast resist elements on people.
I think that only works on one person.
Do it on me! Cast elements!
I say that I'll save it for a rainy day, and then I do an under-the-breath resist elements casting on myself.
That happens. It's not noticeable.
All right. Who's? What are you? Are you a thief or a rogue kind
of? I'm a quark barbarian.
Barbarian.
I put on. I'm a half elf. I put on my flaming armor.
Okay.
Hello.
And I go up to the door and I try to open the door.
Wait.
What? Yeah.
I stop you.
How are you stopping me?
Well, it's like by putting two hands on
my flaming armor.
On your shoulders, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's romantic for a second, unless it burns me.
Okay. Yeah. I turn down my flames.
I resist your elements.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, sorry, go ahead.
Am I standing in the between them?
Only if you want to be.
Around and do trap sense on the door.
That's up to you guys.
So you put
I
your
want
hands
Christa
on my
Berg to check out the door. He's a rogue. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
You know, when you come to a door,
just
you...
let me.
Yeah,
on the door.
Sure.
Certain
Are
protocol
you trying to
here.
Protect me?
Yes.
Oh. Well.
Yes, yes. The way I try to protect you when I say, "Did you turn the gas off when we go to bed?" I'm trying to protect the whole house.
Love. All
right. What's happening?
Trap sense.
Christopher wants to check out the door.
Trap sense? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Okay. So you examine this door. It looks on closer inspection to be made of adamantium.
Oh, wait. No, that's... Okay. All right.
It's a very strong and a hard metal, for those of you not in the know.
It's what Wolverine's made out of.
Not that you can tell. Yeah, the skeleton.
It's one electron different from unobtainium.
That's the door.
All right, so it's made out of adamantium, but
sure
there's no traps that you can sense?
I don't see anything.
So it's like a vault door, like it's got a crank on it?
Yeah, like
yeah,
that.
Let's open this thing. Come on.
All right, kitten, you want to do a...
Sure, yes, I will.
Right,
whatever you want.
Whoever wants to open it.
Hey, you
want
to open this door with me?
Sure.
Okay, you grab one side.
I got this side.
You okay, and now...
I'm going to push up, you push down.
Let's do it counterclockwise. I mean it in a straight line. No, let's open it. Three,
okay.
One, two, three, open.
You pull the handle, and it slides open with a sharp snicked.
Ouch.
Snicked?
Yeah.
A snick?
From the adamantium. Yeah. That's the
Wait,
sound of...
Wouldn't it be
of...
three?
Fucking nerd.
Nice.
It's a deep cut.
A nerd alert sounds throughout the dungeon.
So, yeah,
I
the
don't
door...
I understand what's going on.
Oh, my God. My high school girlfriend came to the show.
What's happening?
Snicked is a sound effect that Wolverine's adamantium
plasmic. I don't know
who the
fuck a wolfman is.
Why did you come here,
I don't know.
Trisha?
I'm going home.
You won't go to the snowball dance with me? You show up when I'm 40 to the Harmontown?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, your theme for your dance was just snowball?
We had a winter dance. Snowball dance.
All right, sorry.
The room is hot like a summer's day, and you begin to sweat. Those things are hot, right?
Yeah, depending
on
where you are.
I guess that's a good point. Inside this room are three massive stone lions, mouths frozen open in a ferocious roar. You don't see any doors in this room, but there are masses of chains hanging from the high ceiling, some dangling down like silver vines from the clanking canopy.
I grab one of the chains and I start pulling on it.
It's too high up. You need probably the lowest one is about 20 feet off the floor.
I can't jump it?
Nope.
Okay.
If you
so
jump on one of these stone lions and jump up there, but...
In the center of the room, you also see a metal treasure chest.
I approach the treasure chest. Try to open it.
You approach the treasure chest.
Do you mind if I look at that first?
Yeah. If you look at it first?
Yeah, I'd like to trap sense
let him,
on.
Let him trap sense.
Okay.
What don't you understand about this procedure?
No, trap sense first.
A little bit of
Sorry,
caution.
Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought it was just like a... You totally...
No, I just wanted to open it and take everything and keep it to myself.
Go ahead, Chris.
There's a trap.
Trap sense. The proletariat. The proletariat. The proletariat are in a trap of economy. Oh, trap sense.
And television was there.
For the first season of Gilligan's Island, to the explosion of our president's brains. What did they have in common? Television. It doesn't make sense to praise that as if it's like, what a medium. Good job, TV. Thanks for the Beatles and killing Kennedy. Thank you. I'll keep watching you. Commence with the awards. Who got one? And a gun. All right. I knew I was watching something important.
So what's the intro of the trap?
Dear Dan Harmon, I didn't write what I said at the Emmys.
Oh, shit. I got an email from Don Cheadle.
Wrote that for me.
Dear Don Cheadle, first of all, let's follow each other and send each other. We shouldn't have to direct tweet each other. All right. Yeah. Anyways, so we open the door. There's some lions and some chains.
And there's
Chris,
a trap.
Chris, do you know what kind of trap is on the?
It's a good question.
Okay.
You think it might be some sort of mechanical-based trap.
Mechanical-based trap.
That's situated on the locking mechanism.
No other exits from this room?
Not that you can see.
Hey,
I think it's related to the lions or the chains?
It's not related to anything but the chest.
I say we all get behind the chest and give her an open.
What?
From behind it.
Like through the hinges?
A reach around?
Yeah, a reach around, yeah. We all stand behind it. It's designed to trap whoever opens it.
Is it a hinge chest or is it a lid chest?
It's a... I mean, it has a hinged lid.
Thank you?
It's a hybrid.
Yeah. Hey, why don't we take the hinges off the back?
That's not a bad idea.
Thanks.
How do you plan to do that?
I'm going to just start hitting it with my foot. What do I got here?
I have Conjure Phillips.
How are the hinges affixed?
Guys, I have a cloak of resistance. If we really want to open it, but I have a feeling
we could
that if
put
we
on
open
a show.
It, things will happen. Maybe the lions will come to life or something. If I put on the cloak of resistance, I can open it. You guys can hide. How do you feel?
I as far as I understand, as the resident wizard, can I cast detect magic on this?
Thing?
And will that allow me to also further like get a little more information about if there is magic, what kind of magic?
Yeah, but I said it was a mechanical trap.
Yeah,
so.
But okay. So that's you telling me not to waste my spell.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is it's a mechanical trap. There's no mechanics on God's earth that will make these lions come to life. I'm not saying they won't at some point. But the trap that we sensed, there's some shit that's going to, you know, it's like, oh, I got shot with a dart, or there's gas that comes out. It's a mechanical trap.
I don't think so.
No?
I was kind of thinking we could use some vials of acid on the hinges.
Yeah, why don't we put some acid on the hinges?
Hey, man, I love it.
All right.
I'm just saying don't stand in front of the chest when you do it.
No.
I put on my cloak of resistance.
Good call. As you put it on, you feel more resistant.
She hasn't been wearing that the entire time.
No, she has. You guys are all wearing.
I put on my cloak of oppositional defiant disorder.
No, you don't. Yeah. So, do you want to do the acid thing? All right.
I love
it. So you pour your vials of acid over the hinges on the back of this chest, and it bubbles, and you smell a terrible smell, but Eventually, it eats through, and you see these hinges are now gone. You could probably pull up the top of the lid.
To me, the smell is good because it's the smell of a trap being foiled.
Yeah, then it does smell good to you.
All right, gentlemen.
The snack is lit over.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
You open up the lid, and as you open it, you see the trap mechanism inside. It looks like it's a little tiny crossbow. So you pull off the lid, and it just fires the crossbow in the other direction.
See, dumb. Child's play.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Inside the chest are 60 arrows and 2 bags of arts and crafts supplies.
Really? Oh, thank you, Spencer.
I'll take those. I'll take those.
I take all the glitter. All the glitter's mine.
I want all the craft wood.
Is this a Mulrain chest? This is great. Thank
it's
you.
It's just a chest.
Okay.
It's nice.
Gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and scoop up this arts and crafts supplies.
All right.
And I'm gonna take 20 of these arrows.
What? You can't take the arrows and the arts and crafts.
Well,
She's not taking all of them. She's just taking some of them. Let's divvy up the arrows. You got a crossbow?
Crossbows take bolts, not arrows.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, that turned out great. In celebration, I walk up to one of the stone lions and I kick it and I go, yeah!
It's pretty invigorating. It doesn't hurt too bad. You're just feeling
I don't have a bow. Stop looking, everybody. Sorry.
Can I use wild empathy on the frozen lions to figure out what happened?
You could try, but you don't feel empathy coming towards them as if they're just statues or something.
I get on top of one of them and I'm like, I wish one day they'll invent something that stores images.
I burn that image into my mind.
Just burn this into your memory.
I remember that time.
What's in the arts and crafts supplies?
You know, just general stuff.
All right, Spencer, if we want to go down this road, we'll go down this road.
I figure at least give you the tools to do it with, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I examine the eyes and mouths of the lions. Just looking for gems, baubles, other sundry notions.
You see, their eyes do kind of look a little glinty, like glint things.
In celebration of getting all the supplies, I grab 2 of the chains and I start swinging around. And
she can't do that. She can't do that. I tried doing that and you said I couldn't.
Yeah, you're not high enough. You'd have
to
jump.
Not high enough.
Guys, I got a glint over here. All right. I got glint.
Right. Is there anything in its mouth?
Who's asking?
I'm asking him because he's up there.
I got glint in the eyes. I don't know. The mouth seems empty. Mouth clear. Eye glinty.
Can I climb on top of the lion and then jump on a chain?
Yeah. Hold up. Let me.
You
do
didn't say I could do that.
Well, you didn't ask. You do that. You climb up atop the stone lion. You also can get onto one of these chains if you'd like.
I want to get on one of the chains.
Then you do.
I want to swing around.
You swing around. It's like a joyous occasion.
I have a knife I want to use to pry some of the glintiness out of these lion eyes.
Okay, so you're trying to pry.
Yeah.
Pry the eye.
Yeah.
When you're jamming it with your pryer, you feel the eye go in a little bit, like it's being pushed inward, and you hear a rumbling coming from the ceiling above, and you on the chain.
Sharpie, what did you do?
Yourself shaking on this chain as the ceiling begins to rumble.
I rush to the lion opposite, and I'm going to climb up on that line.
On what now?
The lion that's opposite him, so it'd be diagonal, I guess.
So you're all on lions?
Might not be a bad idea.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I didn't. I'm standing here.
Would you like to be on the lion?
Yes. All I wanted was to be invited.
Everyone gets on a lion.
Yay!
The rumbling continues and gets louder and builds to a cliffhanger.
Yay! Yes. Thank you, everyone, for coming to Harmontown. Let's hear it for Bill. Drive safe!
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Aaron McGathy, guest comptroller. Thank all of you. I don't know. Exit through the gift shop. I don't know what Jeff usually says. He thanks everybody. Katie Levine, Dustin, Emily.
Zach, Dustin Marshall, Feral Audio.
Probably Mo.
Everyone did great.
Thank you, everyone at Meltdown. Thank you. See you next week.